Christ says, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But let's face it, the idea of denying ourselves anything sounds very foreign to us as Americans. And yet here is Christ's call. Here is what he demands of us. The death of Jesus of Nazareth is a historic fact. But many live today as if this death and the empty tomb that follows are irrelevant. Many recognize it, but they still treat it as irrelevant. Or they prefer not to think about it, to put off grappling with the ramifications of this truth and its calling on their lives, out of sight, out of mind. But then, what happens? They find themselves empty. They find themselves hopeless and alone. The reality is that without the cross, this is all that there is to life. There is no hope, there is no rescue from ourselves, from our passions. We simply live and we die. Without the victory of the cross, each person has no reason not to live for himself, for his own selfishness, for his own pleasure. Nihilism is really the only logical recourse. But God desires better for us all along. The reality of who we are deep down as human beings, who God created us to be, is not the fallen, struggling, depressed, lonely slaves to the passions that we would otherwise be. Instead, God's created us to be God-bearers, angels in the flesh, children of the living God. He's created us for glory, for life with him. But how often do we exchange this glory for enslavement to the temporal things of this world? We exchange the glory of God and freedom to grow and to heal and find and work out our salvation for that which is all passing away. Christ's death on the cross reminds us first that by the tree of our first parents, Adam and Eve, that they fell into sin through their disobedience, through their rejection of that glory, that rejection of that life. And as a result, they were exiled from God's dear presence. They were exiled from paradise. They preferred relationship with Satan and his lies to relationship with God and his life at that moment. They introduced death into the world through sin, through apartness from the life that God alone is. Our first parents and we, every time we sin, willingly play with death in a sense. We choose apartness from God, from life itself. And so the fall, in this sense, becomes personal for us because of our own choices, because of our own playing with death. But Christ descended into Hades, and he raised the dead who were there, who had longed to see his day. The victory over sin and death was his. Christ died the vilest of deaths, that by crucifixion, so that he could defeat on our behalf the vilest of our sins and passions. Third century Saint Irenaeus explains the mystery so. He, Christ, by his obedience on the tree, renewed and reversed what was done by disobedience in connection with a tree. Or as St. Paul says, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And so Christ inaugurates this new race of Adam, a race no longer enslaved to sin and death, but one that can be healed from sin sickness, grow into the likeness of the Holy Trinity. In Christ and through his church, we've been given the tools of salvation that you and I must have to find healing step by step from our passions, our greediness, our desire to have things our way, to live for self in all of its arrogance, pride, and loneliness, in separation from God and from one another. If those who touched the hem of Christ's garment found healing, What would happen when Christ entered into Hades and confronted death head on? Who would emerge the victor but the Lord of life himself? The only one who could offer himself to death and emerge victorious. And on this day, this Sunday of Great Lent, we venerate the cross of Christ then. Not just as a symbol or a sign, but a reality, marking that final victory over sin and death, over our vileness that has darkened human nature and obscured the image and likeness of God in us. By Christ's death on the cross, death is transfigured into life for all those who live for and with God. The enemy of man, death, is vanquished. And so, in this mystery, Christ beckons us to die to the life apart from him, life for and of ourselves, in all its vainglory and its loneliness and separation, because that really isn't any life at all. That's a living death. And instead, the life giver himself and the victor over sin and death calls on us to live instead in him, that we may also become fellow partakers of the resurrection and co-heirs with him. And for this reason, we herald the cross in the hymnography of the church as the trophy invincible. We sing in the canticles from matins of this feast, "Thy cross, O Lord, all-merciful, is honored by the whole world, for thou hast made the instrument of death into a source of life. Sanctify those who venerate it, O God of our fathers, who alone are blessed and greatly glorified." How then do we interiorize and apply the cross to our own lives? It's not enough. It's important. It's godly, and we need to do it, to carry the cross around our necks. But we also need to carry it about in our hearts as well. And so, this gets to today's gospel. Jesus says, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Christ, in denying himself for us, gave himself his own life to defeat death. And so we, in order that we may live, in order to obtain the true life that is in him alone, we learn to take up Christ's call. And in self-denial and love for God, we fight to leave pride behind that we may grow humble like our Lord. We fight our vain attempts to create the mirage of temporal stability in and around our lives with all the creature comforts that we can afford. And we learn through our fasting that we don't live by bread alone. We learn that the pursuit of all that the world has to offer us cannot bring us true joy, fulfillment, or anything close to eternal life. And this realization has to be, for us, the first step in our self-denial. Because he loves us, Christ God warns us by asking us, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" In other words, Christ is saying to us, "What are you doing, man, living as if there's no God, no resurrection from the dead, or making Christ a tangential part of your life as you go about the mundane things that are passing away, as if that's what life is about?" Without Christ's victory on the cross and our participation in it, there's nothing left but emptiness. For that would be all that there is to life without Christ, without the way of the cross, without our taking up that cross so that we can learn to deny ourselves, so that we can learn humility, so that we can become like our Lord, so that we can be with our Lord. This triumph is summed up in this hymn from Matins for this Sunday. "I died through a tree, but I have found in thee a tree of life, O cross of Christ, Thou art my invincible protector, my strong defense against the demons. Venerating thee this day, I cry aloud, sanctify me by thy glory. And so my hope for us, few as we are today, I wish that everyone were here to be able to experience the cross this day, to venerate the cross this day, to make it our own this day. But I pray that this will be our prayer too. Sanctify me by thy glory. As we come forward to venerate the cross at the end of liturgy, sanctify me by thy glory. And so we ask our Lord to make us pilgrims on the way to the cross. Christ, by his love and grace, has placed the cross before us, this midpoint in the fast, so that we can have the energy and the motivation to get ourselves to his passion. And through his passion, journeying with him and being buried with him, we too may emerge victorious on the third day with our glorified, resurrected Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to say no to our self-will and yes to thy will, so that we may arrive at Pascha deified, changed more and more into thy likeness. Help us, O Lord, that we too may deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow thee, dying to self, that we may live with thee for all eternity. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to you forever.